Well, amen. I don't know about you, but I kind of figure that's shouting ground right there. Amen. Y'all glad you saved tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
I think you can do a little bit better than that. I said, if you're glad you're saved tonight, say amen.
Amen.
So take your Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And if it's all right with y'all tonight, I'm just going to brag on him a little bit.
Amen.
Amen. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. We can preach about anything, and we can preach about a lot of things you can find something wrong with, but when you preach about Jesus, you can't find nothing wrong. Amen. No fault in Him. We can find fault in everything on the face of this earth, but you ain't going to find the problem with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Are you there? 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. The Bible said in verse number 15, let's look at this verse carefully. The Bible said, thanks be to God for His, what is it? Unspeakable gift. Wow, what a statement. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Have you ever got a Christmas when somebody said, what'd you get for Christmas? And you just had to say, I don't know. I can't even explain it. It's so great. Can you imagine? Well, that's what we got when Heaven gave us the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. An unspeakable gift. You can tell people about Jesus, and that's great, and we ought to. You can watch the Charlie Brown Christmas and hear about Jesus. You can listen to all the Christmas songs, Away in a Manger and Silent Night and Joy to the World and Mary Did You Know, and you can listen to all those songs and you can hear about Jesus, but you do not understand until you receive Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible said there was an unspeakable gift. An unspeakable gift. What is that gift? Jesus. She brought forth her firstborn son and called him Jesus. You know what that word Jesus means? It means Savior. For God to send us a Savior must have meant we needed saving.
Amen.
Take your Bible and go to Isaiah tonight. I've preached from this passage nearly every Christmas, as long as I've been the pastor of this church, I've probably got 12, 15 messages from Isaiah chapter number 9. And to me, it's some of my favorite scripture in the Bible when we talk about the birth of Christ. And I want to look at it again tonight. If you've heard me preach on this subject before, I don't want to bore you. But if talking about God giving us His Son bores you, something's wrong with you. Amen. Let me say that again. If talking about the Lord coming to earth to be born of a virgin, that He might redeem us unto Himself. Amen. If that bores you, something's wrong with you. Amen. Do you know who loves to talk about Harley Davidsons the most? The people who have them. Amen. People who drive Fords love to talk about Fords. Amen. People who drive Chevrolets love to brag about how much better a Chevrolet is than a Ford. Why? They got one. I remember a buddy of mine, and his wife's here tonight, Sister Donna. I wasn't going to tell who it was, but I just said his wife, Sister Donna's here tonight. He owned his own business and was doing well, and it seemed like every time he turned around, he had a new truck. And he had come straight to my house with that new truck. And if it was a Dodge, that was the best truck's ever been made. And he'd drive that thing about 6 months a year. He'd go trade that thing in on a Ford. He'd bring that thing to my house. Best one's ever been made. What are you saying? You brag on what you have.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen? Well, I've got Jesus tonight, so I'm going to brag on Him. Amen. Hallelujah. And by the way, Toyota's the best truck's ever been made. I'm just kidding. Amen. But anyway, I don't want to bore you tonight. I hope to excite you a little bit. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number, we'll start at verse number 6. But listen to me. I want to preach on this thought tonight. There's no other name just like the name of Jesus. We've given this illustration 1,000 times, but you try it sometime. Go to the Braves game or a Falcons game. Stand up in the middle of the game, 40,000 plus people in the stands, and holler, Robert! And you might get 3 or 4 guys turn around and say, huh? Yeah. Ain't nobody else going to pay you a lick of attention.
Yeah.
But you jump up in the middle of that crowd and you holler, Jesus! Everybody going to turn and look at you.
Yeah.
Why? Because there's something about that name. That name grabs the attention. It grabs my attention. It grabs your attention. There ain't nothing gets under my skin quicker than anything. And on television or something, or even out in public, somebody get mad or hit their finger with a hammer or something, they go, Jesus Christ. Well, that bothers me. I don't like to hear his name in that context, do you? Amen. But there's something about that name. That name is special. The Bible said there is no other name or none other name given among men in the book of Acts whereby you must be saved. You know what the Bible also said? The Bible said at the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord. Did not say it at the name of Buddha. Didn't say it the name of Muhammad. Didn't say that the name of any political figure. He said at the name of Jesus. In other words, at that great white throne judgment, when the name Jesus is mentioned, they'll just hit their knees. You say, that's ridiculous. That could never happen. It's happened with public figures. Yes, it has. Back in the 60s and the early 70s and the late 50s, when they would introduce a young man from Mississippi named Elvis Presley, when he'd walk out on the stage and his name would light up across the back of him, E-L-V-I-S, people would just fall out in the floor. You know what they were doing? They were bowing to him. They were bowing in his presence. Wrong one to bow to. Amen. Wrong. But Jesus, let me say, He's the right one. You can't go wrong bowing to Jesus. Why? Elvis died. He can't help nobody. Amen. But Jesus is alive forevermore. Amen. And you're going to bow. You can count on it. You can count on it. You can do it now. You can do it then. But then it won't count. Amen. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. No other name given among men whereby you must be saved. Hey, something about that name, ain't it? Amen. Isaiah chapter number 9, and we'll try to preach a few minutes and get you out. I know you got lots to do, but let's focus on him just for a little bit tonight. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6, the Bible said, for unto us. Now, let me just stop right there. For unto us. I get tore up every time I read this. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a child is born. Now, think about it. You know what that means? God gave His Son to us. Unto us a child is born. Then He said a son is given. That shows both sides of our Savior. That child is the man side of Christ Jesus. One mediator between man and God, the man, Christ Jesus. Shows both natures. Amen. He was very much man, but He was very much God. Unto us a child is born, a son is given. That son is the God side. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. For unto us, God came in the flesh. Amen. Wow, that blows my mind. That the Creator of the universe would think so much of me that He would send me as a free gift His Son. Wow. That He might reconcile me to Himself. That just blows my mind. Why does it blow your mind? Because I know me. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Let's stop again. I may never get the message. Now, if you believe the Bible like I believe the Bible, come on, talk to me. Do you believe it? I mean, is there a part of it you got a problem with? Now, I didn't say is there a part of it you don't understand. Now, there's a whole pile of it I don't understand, but I ain't got a problem with it. Amen. He's proved to me over and over He knows what He's talking about and He knows what He's doing, and just because I don't understand it don't make it right. Or don't make Him wrong. Amen. Amen. You know that's what scholars do? They can't figure the Lord out, so they say He's wrong and they try to fix Him. You go try to work it on God and you got yourself in a mess, man. Amen. Said the government shall be upon His shoulder. Everybody worrying about the president-elect. I'm waiting on some of that wealth to be spread. Amen? I'm looking at a check. I'll take it from Obama. I don't care who it's from. I'm just kidding. But I'm not worried about that. Why? Because He said the government shall be upon His shoulder. In other words, He is in control. He is in charge. Amen? He said, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now watch this. Here's his name. And his name shall be called, say them with me, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Amen. Wonderful Counselor. What was the next one? Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and then the Prince of Peace. You say, man, that's a whole lot of names. You ever run into somebody that had two middle names? If my mama had done that to me, I'd have been upset. You run into folks, they say, well, my name is so-and-so, 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 so-and-so. I go, man, what's the deal? You got a bunch of names. And the reason for doing that is parents get together and they got a name picked out, say it's Levi. And then they want to take a middle name and say, I want to name him after my granddaddy. My wife said, well, I want to name him after my granddaddy. Are you with me? So we would name my son Levi, Roy, Robert. Why? Is that right? Wasn't it Robert Sparks? Grandpa's about all I knew. Levi, Roy, Grandpa. Amen. Each name would represent something in his life. Amen. Each name would represent something. We named him Levi, not after the blue jeans, but after the tax collector, one of Jesus' disciples. Amen. Levi, that represents something. Roy represents the lineage of my grandfather. Robert, of course, he don't have two middle names. I'm just giving you an example. Robert would give you the lineage of his mother's family. Amen. And then Wyatt would give the lineage of my family. Are we making sense? So God has many names. There's one name. There's one name, one mediator between God and man. Amen. No other name whereby you must be saved. Amen. But there is so much represented in his name. Every one of these is his name. Do you remember each one fulfills a different aspect of who our God is? Of who our Lord is. Do you remember when Moses found or saw the burning bush and he went aside to see this thing? You remember that? And he walked up the bush and God spoke to him out of the burning bush and said, take your shoes from off thy foot, from the ground you stand on is holy. And he told him, he said, I want you to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses said, who do I tell him sent me? He said, you tell him I am. You just tell him I am. And I am. I am who? I am that I am. What God was trying to say to Moses is, you just tell him I am. I am whatever you need to put under that. I am wonderful. I am counselor. I am mighty God. I am everlasting Father. I am Prince of Peace. And we could go through the names of God and take 6 months to go through all of them. Amen. Why? Because he am every one of them. Amen. He am every one of them. Amen. Let's look at that first one. The Bible said, and his name shall be called, say it with me, Wonderful. Wonderful. You know what that means? That means awesome. Yeah. It means exciting. It means jubilant. Amen. It means beyond greatness, wonderful. Did you know everything about the Lord is wonderful? Yeah. Amen. There's a song that we never sing it here, and I don't know if I could even tell you how it goes, but the Yankees up north where I preach a lot, they sing it, something about, he is truly wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Isn't Jesus truly wonderful? It goes something like that. Shelly said, I knew a Yankee would know about it. But Brother Charles does too. But that's a good old song. You know why? Because he is truly wonderful. I guarantee you, if you're here tonight and you're saved, there ain't nothing better ever happened in your life than the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world the day you trusted him and your Savior. Hey, I know it was wonderful when your children were born. I know it was wonderful, Levi, when you finally got to kiss that girl right smack in the mouth right up here on this platform the other Saturday. I know that was wonderful. I know it was, but they ain't nothing tops the day that Jesus washes all our sins away. Amen? His name is wonderful. Now, what's that mean to us? That wonderful takes care of the dullness of our lives. Yeah. Wonderful takes care of the dullness of our life. I don't care. If you're on the outside looking in, you may think that we live just these dry, dull, non-exciting lives. Boy, are you missing it. I thought that when I was a kid, I sat in the church and I watched all them folks, you know, and they'd shout and carol on about the Lord, and I'm thinking, man, they ain't got the foggiest idea what a good time is. They ain't got no idea, man, what's going on. Then I got saved. And I found out the life I lived before I got saved was a dull life, a boring life, and an uninteresting life, an uneventful life. But since the day I got saved, been 24 years, 23 years, I could write a book on the things that I've experienced as a Christian.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I was preaching in New York, and I was with Brother Fisher and Brother Paul Bannister and Brother Hal Roscoe. We were all eating a meal together, and I like to cut up and have a good time. Brother Fisher's dry as last year's bird nest, and Yankees are Yankees, so somebody had to make some conversation. We'd just been sitting there looking at each other. So I started telling stories, you know, and telling stories about blunders I've made in the pulpit and things we've done, you know, and they laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. Why? Because I've had a blast as a Christian.
Yeah.
Amen. I got to tell them, Brother Carlos, about the time we had the posse. You remember that? There's a picture of that in my office. Doc White and the posse. And we all dressed up like cowboys. We had real leather chaps. We had real Colt 45. I mean, brother, we had real Stetson cowboy hats, and we had real blanks in our gun. Carlos, that idiot, he's old as dirt now. It'd probably kill him. He got up on top of the building. Brother Allen was in the posse too. And Brother Greg Godfrey and Tim Noble and somebody else. But remember Brother Allen, Brother Carlos got up on top of the building. And I seen him coming across. He was a bad guy. And of course, I get to be the good guy. Amen. The Lone Ranger all the way. John Wayne. And anyway, I pulled that 45, son. I busted a cap on it. And Carlos turned a circle like that and fell on his back in the parking lot. Fell off a building like a real stuntman, except he could walk 3 or 4 days. Man, we've had some fun. We've had some fun. Oh, Brother Paul Fields is going to preach to the kids in junior church one time. First little boy, first time he ever been there, sitting on the front row. He said, all right, kids. He took his Bible and laid it out. He said, all right, kids, y'all settle down now. Brother Paul's going to read the Bible. Little boy said, the whole thing? Amen. First time we had our little Christmas program, I probably shouldn't tell it. I should. I did it. Amen. I was nervous, man. We just a little small church, wasn't a few of us, and man, them little kids, they was doing Mary and Joseph and the birth of Jesus, and aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas. That place was packed out. You remember, Brother Charles? I was scared to death, sweat pouring. I was about to vomit, man. I got up and I said, look, we're just an informal church. I said, if you folks want to crap for your kids, you go right ahead. I did it. I said, no, I'm serious. They was all busted out laughing. I didn't even realize what I said. And I said it again. Right after I started pastoring, my mother gave me a book, or a set of books, by Oliver B. Green. And I was studying the book of Romans. And I was going to teach on Wednesday nights through the book of Romans. And an expository message is where you teach or preach through the Bible verse by verse. And I got up on a Wednesday night and I said, church, I'm going to do something I've never done before. I said, I'm going to do my best to give you a suppository message. I didn't do that stuff on purpose. It just came out. We've had some good times. Amen. And I can go on and on and on. What I'm saying is there is nothing dull about this Christian life. It is truly wonderful. Amen. Would y'all agree with me? Say amen.
Amen.
It's exciting. It's marvelous. Amen. Around here, there's always some excitement. I would tell you about that expository message, what Brother Robert said, and I better not. Broke up the whole service. Brother Fraser going, I would tell you what Sister Donna's daddy jumped up and said while I was preaching one day, and I won't do that either. We've had some time. It had ended. You sound like, man, those are stories from way back. Remember we had a kid build a fire on the bus Sunday morning? Yeah. Little kid got cold, man. He can build him a fire. Caleb said, well, just stomp on it and put it out. And Jasmine's screaming, no, pull over, pull over. Got all them kids out on the middle of the highway. Smoke coming out of the bus. I bet we have a good time. Amen. And they sure wasn't nothing dull about our hit Christmas video. Amen. Wonderful. It takes care of the dullness of life.
Yeah.
I think if we weren't meant to have a good time, it wouldn't be so much fun around here.
Amen.
How many of you hate it when you miss because you're afraid of what you might miss?
Yeah.
Amen. Me too. We have a good time. I wish I had an hour and a half, 2 hours, just going to tell you story after story after story after story. Nah. Y'all got some catching up to do. There's lots of stories. Some of them wonderful and good, some of them bad, but still funny. I'll tell this on Sister Sheila. We went to youth rally one year. She was staying in the girls' dorms. You'll have to ask her personally, you ladies, men don't, but she got to whooping them girls with an article of her clothing. You ask her about that when you see her. She'll fill you right in, amen. Wonderful. Takes care of the dullness of our lives. Secondly, he said his name was Counselor.
Yeah.
Counselor. That takes care of the decisions in our lives.
Amen.
That takes care of the decisions in our lives. I'm glad we got somebody to go to who can direct our path.
Yes,
sir. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. I'm glad we got somebody we can go to who can show us the way.
Amen.
I knew after I got saved and surrendered to preach, it wasn't long after that, I knew I had a heart to pastor. I knew I did. I knew it. I thought, man, I want to be an evangelist. I want to go preach the devil out of everybody and make them mad and leave. That's a bad attitude, ain't it? That's why God didn't make me an evangelist. And I knew I had a heart to pastor. And it seemed like in a one-year period, just about every church that called me to preach didn't have a pastor. And I think, this is it, 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 this is it. And I'd go preach my heart out, and they wouldn't call back. What did I do? What did I say wrong? You see, what I was waiting on was some other church's direction.
Yeah.
I would have taken any church that said, we want you to be our pastor, because I wanted to do it so bad. Bad mistake. Bad mistake.
Right. Yes.
We need to wait on direction from the Lord.
Yes, sir.
First Sunday morning, I preached at Happy Valley. It didn't matter whether they voted on me or not. I knew I was home. I knew it. When I stepped to that pulpit and laid my hand on that pulpit, God said, you're home. He can direct our lives.
Yes, sir.
You know what? I've never doubted that since. Why? I got my direction from Him.
Yeah, it's good.
When we moved here, I hated to leave that. I still ride over there and just sit in the parking lot and remember. Preachers who come here from out of town, there ain't a preacher that's come here from out of town that I haven't took over there and showed them the building. I used to have a key to it, and they changed the locks. I guess they don't want me going in anymore. And I'd go show them, well, this is where we were. This is where this happened. This is where that happened. God knows how to direct our lives.
Yeah.
But the day we toured this building, Brother Charles, y'all were off looking around with Brother Harold, Kim, Tim, and I don't know, Robert. I just sat down up there in that balcony by myself, scared to death. Sat there and just wept like a baby, and the Lord said, you're home. Don't pray about this anymore. You're home. This is it. Don't look. We looked at property. We tried every way in the world. We just outgrown. There wasn't nothing we could do. We couldn't get no more land around. God said, you're home. You say, preacher, aren't you worried about the bills? No, God said you're home.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
God said you're home. If He directed us here, He can keep us here. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Counselor. Takes care of the decisions in our life. We're going to face them as parents. Big decisions about our children. Whether to homeschool. Whether to private school. Did you know what? I'm a strong advocate of homeschool. We have Miss Kim and Miss Amy.
Amen.
Ladies that do an awesome job with homeschooling their children. I believe Miss Bearden's homeschooling this year too. These ladies do a good job with kids. But you know, I wonder if that ain't for everybody.
Amen.
It may not be. It's a big decision, isn't it? Christian school. It's a big decision. You say, oh, I believe a kid ought to go to Christian school. I know kids that are far worse in a Christian school than some are in public
Amen.
School.
Amen.
Amen.
I'd rather preach in a public school than a Christian school.
Amen.
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 And I'm for a Christian school. We got one. The Lord may have you send your child to public school.
That's right.
So that's wicked. That's bad. Bibba turned out okay.
Amen.
One of the finest young ladies we have in our church. Graduated with honors, went to college.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
Amen.
You see, that ain't the pastor's decision. And that ain't the fellowship's decision. Well, how dare them send their kids? That's a parent's decision.
Amen.
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 And it needs to be made at the foot of the Savior.
Amen.
Who can direct their lives.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
That's good.
Amen.
Yes.
Brother Greg's finishing up in the military. Don't know how long you'll be here. I hope a long time.
Amen.
That's a big decision about where you're going to raise your children.
Amen.
He's got a farm he can go back to in South Georgia. He's been so many places, he could probably live in Hawaii. He lived there for a while. Brother Jerry the same way. They got family all the way back in Germany and all over the place. They could be anywhere. But a decision had to be made. Brother Joe stopped me in the hall one day and he said, we found Brother Greg a house. I said, he's fine. He said, yeah. I said, But he made a decision to stay at least for a while.
Amen.
Amen. I'll take him as long as we can keep him.
Amen.
But the decision had to be made.
Yes.
I think he made the right one.
Amen.
But we got to face some big decisions. I ain't talking about whether or not you get cheese on the waffle. I'm talking about big decisions in our lives. Amen. I asked my son several months ago, are you sure? He said, no, but I'm going to marry her anyway. He said, yes, Daddy, I'm sure. I'm sure. Probably somebody, I hope James, somebody should have asked her. Are you, you married into this family? Hush, over there. Those are big decisions. Who you'll spend the rest of your life with. And I know I'm preaching to young people. Most of them's out younger. But that word counselor takes care of the decisions of our life. Then there's that name, Mighty God. That takes care of the demands of our life.
Yes, amen.
We lead and live very demanding lives. Let me get my hat. Commercial break. We ain't demanding lives. But James up there going, I don't know. You did that. Amen. No telling what we'll face when we wake up each morning. No telling what kind of phone call we may get, especially me. Demand. I'm glad I serve a mighty God.
Amen.
Here's what that mighty God, you say ain't nothing mighty about me. Nothing. But there's one who walks with me.
Yes.
Amen.
Who's mightier than I.
Amen.
He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, yea, I'm with thee always, even unto the end of the earth. Thank God we serve a mighty God.
Amen.
The bills are bad, we serve a mighty God.
Amen.
We serve a mighty God. How are we going to get through? We serve a mighty God.
Amen.
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 Brother Robbie, that call for that big carpet job may just come tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen. That call may come in, Brother Todd, for that big painting job where you'll make thousands of dollars and just pull you out of the mess you're in, Brother Shane. The answer may come. Hey, why? We serve a mighty God.
Amen.
Amen. The question is not whether or not God can. God, the question with God is never can.
Amen.
It's always will.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because He can do whatever He wills to do.
Yeah.
I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. He can take care of the demands of our life. He demanded that I preach the gospel. My first response was, I can't do this. That was my first response. I am not a preacher. I cannot do this. I wrestled with it and wrestled with it. What I didn't realize that what I can't do, He can do. The disciples bailed and bailed and bailed and bailed, being experienced fishermen. Why, finally, what they realized they could not do, that Christ could simply raise His head off a pillar and say, peace be still. They realized what they couldn't do, He could do. The Lord come down off the mountain, the disciples, they said, man, what's wrong with those disciples? They can't cast out these demons. You know what they found out? What the disciples couldn't do, He could do. Amen. He can take care of the demands of your life. You say, preacher, I'm up against a wall. You need Him.
Amen.
I'm in a mess. You need Him.
Yeah.
I got some big decisions to make. You need Him. I need some joy in my life. You need Him. I'm looking for answers. You need Him.
Amen.
Amen. Takes care of the dullness. He's wonderful. Takes care of the decisions. He's a counselor. Takes care of the demands. He's a mighty God. Then it says He's an everlasting Father. I like that. You know what that means? That means He has no end.
Amen.
And He had no beginning.
Amen.
He who always was will always be.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
He's the originator of our faith. When Jesus came, somebody said dust met deity. I like that.
Yeah.
Dust met deity.
Amen.
Wow. Time to the unbeliever is an enemy. To one who's not saved, every day you live, you're one day closer to hell's doors. But time to the Christian is an ally. Why? Because we have an everlasting Father, and He takes care of the dimensions of our lives. You know, when you're young, change was a treat. You remember when you were a kid? All right, guys, talk to me. How many of you remember 14? 14 years old.
Yeah.
Going to get your driver's license, learner's license at 15, right?
Yeah.
And the whole year you was 15, you were counting the days till 16 when you could drive.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all, talk to me.
Yeah.
What? Change was a treat. How many of you boys, men, talk to me. You remember when, man, you look in the mirror, you look for a hair. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
You remember shaving when you didn't need to? How many of you wish you didn't have to? Change was a treat when you were young. Oh, but when 40 comes. It's no longer a treat. It's a test. Come on, talk to me. Ain't a treat no more. It's a test. Somebody said, how old are you? 44? And every time I say that, all I can think of, 12 months, man, I'm going to be 45 years old. Every time I feel a little something, I go, what was that? I call Mama and say, Mama, where's your gizzard at? Where's... I got something hurting, Mama. Where's my kidneys? Where's my liver? Where's my guts? What is this? Change ain't quite the same anymore, is it? Mm-mm. He takes care of the dimensions of our life. I'm glad it said everlasting.
Yes, sir.
Father.
Yes, sir.
He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end.
Yes,
and then that last name, and we'll quit. The Bible said He was the Prince of Peace.
Hallelujah.
The Prince of Peace. When those angels came, what did they say? Peace on earth. It wasn't that the earth had peace, but peace was on earth.
Amen.
He was the peace they were talking about.
Amen.
Laying in the manger.
Right.
There wasn't peace on earth, or Herod wouldn't have sent out orders to kill all the little boy children. That's not peace.
Yeah.
Come on, talk to me.
Amen.
The peace He was talking about was the peace wrapped in swaddling clothes. He is the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Amen.
That takes care of the disturbances in our lives.
Amen.
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 Wonderful. Takes care of the dullness. Counselor, the decisions.
Amen.
What was next? Mighty God. What did I say that took care of?
Demands.
The demands. Everlasting Father. The dimensions. But He and being the Prince of Peace takes care of the disturbances in our lives. What are you saying, preacher? He can speak peace to a troubled heart. He can give peace in the middle of a great storm. He can give you peace in your heart when you've got letters stacked up on your table that high. And instead of trying to figure out which one to pay, you know you can't pay none of them. I'm preaching where we live tonight. That don't mean we need to put a gun in our mouth. That don't mean we need to go crazy. We need to pray for peace. God, I need some peace. I need some peace in my heart. Amen. He said He would comfort us in our tribulation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
David said, "Yea, I'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Amen.
I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me."
Amen.
That word "through" means He had to go out the other side.
Right.
He didn't get snatched up out of the middle of it.
Amen.
Amen. But He can give peace in the middle of what's troubling us. Thank God for that peace that passes all understanding.
Yes, sir,
amen.
Amen.
Luke chapter 2 and verse 14, the angels said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ."
That's right. Amen.
Somebody used to sing a song, and I can't remember who it was. Levi, you might remember, they used to sing it in our church. It said, "I know the peace speaker, and I know him by name."
Yeah.
Was that Sierra? That was Sierra. "I know the peace speaker, and I know him by name."
Yeah.
Let me read that verse again. "Therefore, being justified by faith." What's that mean? We're saved.
Yeah.
We've put our faith in the Son of God.
Yeah.
We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I'm not just at peace with my wife tonight. I'm not just at peace with Brother Charles, but I'm at peace with God. That's a big thing. That's a big thing. In other words, I have an advocate with the Father. He makes peace between me and God. Isn't that good? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 14, the Bible said, "For He is our peace, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition."
Amen.
Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 20, and I'm done. "And having made peace through the blood of His cross."
Amen.
Wow. What a name.
Hallelujah.
Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. Prince of Peace. Isn't He something?
Yeah. Yes.
So thanks be unto God tonight for His unspeakable gift.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's stand there.